In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. It's already the second Sunday of Great Lent. I hope you're kind of catching your energy and that you're getting more energetic. That should be happening. Even if you're fasting strictly, you should become more energetic, because the whole purpose of the fast is to be able to experience the energy of God, God's energies. The whole purpose of the fast is to be able to have God all completely in our heart. No darkness, nothing that is cold or hard, just God in our heart. So Lent is this time when we're trying to open up our hearts to God. And if we do that, indeed, God will come in and he will illuminate some of those spots that are dark. And we should feel more energy. Now, I understand there's temptations during Great Lent. I have them too. And sometimes you get tired, and sometimes maybe you get cranky, and sometimes a lot of things happen. But overall, what should be happening to you is there should be sort of a unfolding of your soul, sort of your soul opening up a little bit, a little crack appearing in your soul, so that God and his light will come into that crack and illuminate you. That's what you should be doing during Great Lent. That's the whole purpose of Great Lent. It's really the whole purpose of life. It's just Great Lent is a time when we can concentrate a little bit more than we normally do, because, well, human beings, we don't concentrate all the time. We wax and we wane. We sometimes are doing something very strongly and sometimes very weakly. Sometimes we remember, sometimes we forget. This is the season to remember. This is the season to increase your prayer. This is the season to fast better than you normally do. This is the season to say the prayer of St. Ephrem during the weekdays. This is the season to come to the services. Not because those are a list of things that Father Seraphim tells you to do, but because they're life, because they open up our hearts so that we can know God. We are celebrating St. Gregory Palamas today. And he, probably more than any of the other saints, elucidated the purpose of our life. What is going to happen to us because of how we were made. So we're made in the image of God, and I keep talking about that all the time, because that is absolutely primary. God, who is, made us. So we became human beings in his image in order to become like him, to attain to his likeness. And what does attaining to his likeness mean? St. Gregory teaches it. He might not have literally said, this is what attaining to his likeness means, but in his multiple writings and his defense of the Orthodox faith in very tempestuous, difficult times, he elucidates what is the goal, what is the purpose, what is the end. Do you know what the end is? The end is to be holy with God and in God, to share in his energies. Now, maybe that's a technical term, a hard one to understand. I think the best way to describe it is from Thessalonians, the reading that we always read for the dead. And that is where we will be with the Lord. And not only with the Lord, but we will be like the Lord. So we will be sharing in his life. Isn't that what we do with our children? Isn't that what we do with dear friends? We share in their lives, but only a little bit. We can only know a person a certain amount, and we can only give so much of ourselves to a person. We're not capable of giving everything. We're not able to tell them everything that's in our heart. We can't do that. We're not capable of that. But God is. God is capable of that. And that's exactly what he's going to do. And in fact, what he is doing right now for us is sharing of himself according to our capacity. And eventually, we will only know him. There will only be light. There will only be the energy of God. That is God's motion in the world. God's grace. God making himself manifest to us. That's all there'll be. That's all we'll care about. We won't care about any other details at all. Now, in this life, we care about all kinds of details. Some of them are important, and some of them are just plain frivolous, and some of them are really sinful. But we won't have any of that in the next life. We'll only have knowing God. That's the purpose of your life. It's just to know God. And then to know him, of course, you have to become like him. It stands to reason. You can't know somebody unless you share in their life. So God created us to share in his life. And the way he shares with us is by giving of himself, and of himself is his energies. He can't, he won't, I should say can't, it's, I guess you say can't. God can do anything he wishes, right? But there are fundamental truths about God that we cannot attain, right? God is, he created everything, he was before everything, and we will never be like his essence. We can't be like his essence. He's uncreated and the creator. He knows all things. The Lord gives us knowledge, and we have partial knowledge. It might be very, very complete in the next life, but it still will not be the knowledge of God. And we might become very holy, but we won't be holy like a God. We won't be of his essence, but we will share in his energies. And you can think of his energies as the sun. We cannot go and sit on the sun. We would be burned up. But we can share in the energies of the sun, the light of the sun, and the heat from that light. So God will share all of this with us, and he is doing it. And in fact, he will do it now for those who really wish it. And he did it for Saint Gregory and for certain other saints, where Saint Gregory literally would pray the prayer of the heart, which is the Jesus prayer, and, or not technically the Jesus prayer, we talk about it synonymously, but really the prayer of the heart is when the heart is completely united to God. Whether you're saying the Jesus prayer or saying no prayer whatsoever, if a person is completely united in their heart to God, they're saying the prayer of the heart. But the way of achieving it, for a long time now, the church has taught by its deeds, not just by its words and by the things on paper from the Philokalia, etc., but by people's experience, that the prayer of the heart is attained through asceticism and through the prayer of Jesus. Of course, asceticism is not just to do things that are hard or that are painful or being cold at night or all that kind of stuff, wearing a hair shirt and all these things. Asceticism is when we take up our cross and follow Jesus, when we consider the only thing important in life to be the commandments of God and who God is, and we want to be like him. That's asceticism. And therefore, we'll do anything in order to obtain that goal. Whatever God teaches us to do or commands us to do, we will do. That's asceticism. Asceticism is to do the things that you might not otherwise be inclined to do, because the flesh wants to take rest and the soul wants to be pampered by being considered to be a pretty good guy or something like that. Asceticism is to reject all those things and to live for God. And indeed, one can live for God and see the divine light of God, the energy of God. This is possible. Not only is it possible, but it's the whole point. It's the whole point of our life. I want you to remember this when you say your prayers, and my prayers are pretty, you know, kind of pedestrian, just like yours are. I don't see the divine light when I pray, but we should know that we should see the divine light, that this is the calling that we have to be in the presence of God and only God. And so when you pray, pray with a desire, with an effort to have the prayer resonate in your soul. So if you get up to say your prayers and you do the four bows that I've taught you, or you say the prayer of Saint Ephrem, or you make the sign of the cross and you begin, try not to just to start rattling off the prayers. Try to have those prayers resonate in your heart. And if a prayer resonates, then you can linger on it. You can say it more slowly, or you can just start to do prostrations, or you can just try to be with God. In our state, we're beginners. It's very hard to us to be with God without doing something, right? The great saints, Saint Gregory would be with God and not be doing anything, shall we say. He would just be, his mind would be with God. Now that's very hard for us. So we have to be doing things, saying the Jesus prayer, doing prostrations, saying the Psalter, etc. But all of those prayers are for one purpose only. And that is to be united to God, to know God personally, intimately, to share in his life. So what I thought I would do is basically read a few things from the canons, because They're just so wonderful and beautiful. And I would like for more of you to be reading the services. And if you do read the services and love them as much as I do, or more than I do, I'll tell you, I have a great benefit, because then I have someone who's interceding for my sinful self. If you really understand what's in the canons and what's in the services in general, it's just profoundly, unspeakably beautiful. And it should kind of make you want to change, make you say, you know, I really should not sleep in and, when the alarm rings, stay in bed for 15 minutes, because that just robbed me of 15 minutes of prayer. Or that robbed me of any prayer because I just had to dash out of the house. If you're reading these things and being inspired by them, then you might make some changes. So I apologize if this is maybe it won't be real organized. But I was thinking about the Gospels for today, and to be honest with you, I didn't really feel any inspiration about what I would really speak about them, with one exception. When I wanted to talk to you about the purpose of Lent and that we can see God, we can literally see God's energy. As far as his essence, we can't see his essence. That's beyond our capability. But he will share of himself through his energies, through his divine light, his uncreated light. There's the story of the paralytic today. Paralysis is a metaphor in the scripture for the sins of the soul. Because sin paralyzes us. He who sins becomes a slave to sin. A slave can't move where he wishes to move and do what he wishes to do because his master constrains him. Slavery constrains us. It paralyzes us. It makes us incapable of seeing the divine light. It makes us incapable of sometimes just being kind to people. It makes us incapable of saying our prayers or having a feeling in our heart that's peaceful. Don't you want that feeling? All of us have times when we don't feel peaceful. We feel at loose ends, and we just don't feel right. In fact, probably most of us every day have that feeling, that kind of lethargy and sort of the malaise of the soul, laziness. Maybe we have that mixed up with bad thoughts or with just anxiety or all that stuff. Just like it's all messed up in us, like this terrible. Disgusting soup of rotten foods. But God wants to remove all that from us. And we have it removed from us over time by struggling to follow the commandments, by the grace of God helping us. And this is the time really to be concentrating on that. And the paralytic was paralyzed. He was unable to move because of his sins. The Lord said, your sins are forgiven you. That's why he said that, for us to hear it. Because sin paralyzes, not just the body, it might paralyze the body, but it definitely paralyzes the soul. And I think every one of us, I would guess, sometimes wonders, can I ever really be really good? Can I ever really stop being lazy or stop having these bad thoughts about a person that hurt me in the past? Or can I ever really pray with attention? I think all of us have had those thoughts. Those are very loud thoughts sometimes. And yes, indeed, you can. Yes, indeed, you can. Because the paralytic, the Lord said, get up and walk. And he did. Now, of course, that's the one-time event for that man. But then he had to continue walking. And the Lord will help you to continue walking. So be of good cheer. Yeah, you've got a lot of messy stuff in your soul. And pretty much we're all a mess. But God will help us. So I'll just read a few of the canon verses that I've marked and talk about them a little bit and try to tie them into this marvelous promise that is being fulfilled right now for us to become like God. That's what's happening with us to a greater or lesser degree. Sometimes a lot, sometimes very little, sometimes we go backwards some, but we are being changed. To become like God so that we can know him and actually see his light. So that's the goal. Don't ever forget the goal. The goal is not just to say your morning prayers every day. That's not the goal. The goal is to know God every day. So I'll read from, there were three canons read yesterday. There was the canon of the resurrection for the first tone, and that's every 8 weeks we read that. Then the canon, there's two canons from the Triodion. One was about the theme of the prodigal son, and then the other was about Saint Gregory. And different things kind of hit me, so I highlighted them as I read the canons last night, not just in the service. I read them as preparation for the Holy Mysteries too, by the way. And by the way, I think that's just fine if you want to do that. There is this idea, some people know about this, it's called the Pravila. And you read three canons and an Akathist. Now, priests do that. Lay people, if they can do that. But it's not, I don't require it. Father Nicholas doesn't require it. My bishop doesn't require it of lay people. But if you do, that's okay, fine. But some people think you've got to say the canon of the Theotokos, canon of the Christ, canon of the guardian angel. And then an Akathist to Christ or the guardian angel. Or if you don't do that, then it's just not right. No, you can say any canons you want. And I often read the canons from Matins again, or before Matins even begins. That way they kind of get imprinted on me a little bit more. Because there's three canons in there, so I read those canons most of the time. Thou didst assume mortality for my sake, and didst surrender thy soul unto death, O thou who by thy divine breath didst instill my soul within me. And having loosed the everlasting bonds, thou didst glorify it with incorruption, raising it up with thee. That's about our Lord Jesus Christ becoming man and what he did. Now, we live in an age where the incarnation is sort of polluted with all this Western stuff, and people think that Jesus Christ became man just to take on a punishment for us in our place. No, he didn't come for that reason. He came to destroy death. He came to make us incorrupt. He came to become like us and have corrupt flesh, which died. His flesh died. And to make that flesh then incorrupt by the resurrection on the third day. And that's what Jesus Christ did. Don't ever forget that. So he loves you enough that he wants to make you just like him. Thou hast conferred upon me a royal birthright, becoming man for my sake, O Word, but I have despised the gift and am bitterly condemned to feed the swine, the offspring of my sins. But in thy compassion, spare me, O Savior. The reason why I picked this one is because I'm always talking to you about how our prayer, the nature of our prayer, that our prayer is saying things about ourselves that are often quite terrible. Here I'm saying of myself. And when you read this, you should be saying it of yourself, that I have this royal birthright that I have squandered, and that I am feeding swine, the offspring of my sins. But as I say this, in thy compassion, spare me, O Savior, is the last thing that is said in the prayer. So we say about ourselves the truth. And indeed, swine in the parable are the offspring of the sins. Sins have many, many offspring, don't they? You do one thing bad, and it seems like dozens of other things happen as well. And it's very complicated. Sin is very complex, whereas virtue is just simple. If you're virtuous, it's easy to be virtuous. When you're sinful, it's hard to be sinful because there's just always more sins happening. There's more swine that we're feeding. And we say this honestly about ourselves in our prayer. I never heard stuff like this when I was a Protestant. Never, ever. Just heard, you know, thank you, Jesus, and stuff like that. But this, we can really thank our Lord Jesus that even though we are given a birthright and we've squandered it in many ways, it's not over because the Lord is constantly helping us. And all we need to do is reach out to him and ask forgiveness. And he will help us. This is delicious news, just incredible news. And we should read it over and over and over again and pray it over and over again, because then it gets kind of in the soul and you get really convinced of it. Not convinced because your mind is saying, I want to believe this, but because it's your experience. That's the whole point. Christian life is experience. It's not just believing stuff or even making yourself believe stuff. It is experiencing the forgiveness of God. Okay, here's another one that's just really complicated, but it's so fantastic. It's Christology. You should know Christology. Christology is the study of Christ. And an hypostatic life, O Christ, clothing thyself in me, who have become corrupt, in that thou art the God of loving kindness, and descending to my mortal dust, O Master, thou didst destroy the dominion of death, and having risen after 3 days of death, thou clothed me in incorruption. Which one of you guys here feels incorrupt? Anybody feel incorrupt? Huh? What did you do yesterday? Everything was incorrupt? Everything was perfect? No bad thoughts? No laziness? Perfect attention in your prayer? Never a contrary word to anybody? Oh, no? Yeah, me too. I had that trouble as well. So how are we going to become incorrupt? Because the Lord promises it. That's why. We're walking to perfection, but every single step we take is imperfect. And somehow, at the end of all those imperfect steps, we'll be perfect. It's the whole point of why God created us, so that we could be perfect. Now, we weren't capable of it because of sin. Sin just completely made it impossible. It was that middle wall of enmity that just made it impossible for us to be good. It just wasn't possible. So Jesus Christ, or I should say the Son of God, became man, and now we call him Jesus Christ, both God and Savior and the Anointed. And he became man so that he would take on that corruption and destroy it from within. So that's his whole purpose, and he's clothed us in incorruption. That's why when you're baptized, you put on a white gown. That's a sign of being clothed with incorruption, the wedding garment. And we get it dirty pretty quickly, but God will always help us to cleanse it. Always. This is just beautiful news. I never tire of reading these things or talking about them. I hope you never tire of reading them, these things also, or hearing about them, or praying about them. So if you feel like you're pretty corrupt, it's okay. You're just a human being. Well, you know what I say about being a human being, right? None of us are human yet, right? We're becoming human. You're trying to be a human being and not quite succeeding because of all that stuff that happens in your life. But Jesus Christ became man and became then the perfect man, completely defeating sin and death, so that we would defeat sin and death. That was the whole purpose of the incarnation. A very powerful thing. Because of that, all of our corruption is going to go away. Have you ever wondered about that? That's the most beautiful thing that I can think of. That in the next life, nothing that's corrupt in me, assuming that I've struggled and God receives my repentance. No corruption, only light, only purity, only peace. That's worth fighting for in the midst of all this. I'll make one comment about Gregory, St. Gregory, that is in the midst, he was in the midst of tumultuous times. There was a debate he had with this Latinizing monk called Varlaam. Varlaam didn't understand grace. He thought grace was created. And to this day, that's a Latin heresy. They don't understand salvation. They don't understand that the Lord Jesus Christ clothes us with incorruption. But it's a struggle to maintain that incorruption. God helps us, and we eventually gain perfection because of God's grace permeating us. Not because he creates something that's grace, but because he gives of himself to us. And if he's giving of himself, that's certainly not created. That's uncreated, because God is uncreated and remains uncreated. He had all these arguments with Varlaam, and there was a lot happening. Gregory had incredible, tempestuous times. But one thing that he did, and I think we should remember it as well to do this, our Lord did it. That's, I'm sure, why Gregory did it. He would go to the Holy Mountain and spend 5 days in the Holy Mountain during the week in contemplation. Silence, contemplation, and praying the prayer of the heart. Then he would go off the Holy Mountain, go into Thessaloniki, that dirty city, full of passions and full of arguments and full of all kinds of intrigues, and he'd be in the middle of it for the weekend. So, we should do the same. We have to go away. Every day you need to go away in some way. You need to pray with attention in some way, not just say your prayers and rattle off, you know, the Trisagion prayers or some such things, but be able to go into your closet and pray as best you can. I know it's difficult. It's hard for me too. That's why I find that prostrations are the most helpful thing to help focus my mind, do a lot of prostrations, and pray the Jesus Prayer and pray the Psalter. But this is our purpose. This is what's happening. It's beautiful. It's glorious. It's wonderful. Now, it's gone on a while. I'd love to read you the other. I always want to sort of summarize. And so I think, okay, I'll just do a few. But I've got like 10 marked. Well, we've talked about two, okay? That's all we can talk about. But maybe we'll talk about the others in some other time. May God bless you. May God help you. Don't forget what Lent is for. Lent is to become perfect, to see the divine light of God. It's happening to you right now. In the midst of all the doofus things that we're doing, God is making us perfect. Glory be to God for that. God bless you.